you've ever traveled upriver, maybe half or quarter of a mile before the Tiernan boat ramp, you'll have passed the upright skeleton of a cement boat. Sunk stern first, bones bleached by fire, sun, and river water, the taffrail and mast broken and sidelined. At this time of year, the hull is framed by green reeds, Queen Anne's lace, and roses, the rusty iron of the frame set against the blue of the river. That big cement boat has been there for a while, but it might not be there for much longer. We talked to longtime but now retired Lane County Commissioner Jerry Rust, who says he's going to get that boat out and gravel his long pitted driveway with its remains.
I think a lot of people from Florence knew that ship out in the harbor at the docks. He had it out there by the bridge for a while, parked upriver, got blown around here and there. It took him about, probably 5 years to get it into the water, and then he finally brought it up to my place because basically nobody would let him tie it up. I think they might have thought it would sink and take the docks with it. I don't know.
So how did it end up? I mean, did it float with all that cement on it, or was that done afterwards?
Oh, yeah. No. It's displaced air is how a boat floats, and even if it's made out of steel, it's going to float if you engineered it right. So, yeah, it was very buoyant. In fact, he had filled it full of foam, which is, you know, a foot thick of foam in all the walls inside, and that's one of the reasons it burned all night long.
Oh.
Yeah, that stuff just boiled. Anyway, Ron had some bad luck his last few years. First, he got hit with a car, a big pickup.
And this is Ron.
Eventually, Ron Fonte, who built that boat, he got three pieces of bad luck. He got hit by a truck, and it took his leg off. He came back to live on the ship, but as he was leaving the hospital, they told him he had incurable prostate cancer, and he only had a few months to go. So he came back and lived on the ship again in a wheelchair. We fixed him a ramp across so he could actually a bridge out of plywood and a couple of aluminum ladders. And he managed to get along. One day he built a very big fire in his heating system for his water. The ship, when it came down, the tide shifted and it tipped over a barrel of propane and fractured the valve, and there was an instant explosion. I think about the largest one I've ever heard, and followed by a lot of small ones, and it burned all night long, and there it is.
So how was Ron? Was he in the boat at the time?
Ron, good question. Ron went over the side. I ran out here on the porch, and you could see the flames and see the boat. No Ron anywhere. About a minute later, he came around from the other side. He had been in the bottom of the hold making some lunch. He'd crawled up on his one leg and two arms. When the explosion went off, he kept his head down and had about 6 inches of no smoke at the bottom of the floor. And then he came up, felt his way to the door, and pitched out over the side and into the water. And we didn't think he survived. And a minute later, he came around.
Oh.
And of course, the third thing was that he did die here in Florence. He lived the last few months of his life. He shared our home here.
What did he do in Florence? Was he a boat builder, or did he do that on the side?
He did a bunch of things. He was a teacher, substitute teacher. He was a caregiver. When he got his leg taken off, he was coming home from being a caregiver. And he did a few other things. He was a diver, professional diver, and he taught diving.
And he was a long-term resident of Florence, if he built a boat here.
Quite a while. He came in here at least 25 years ago, probably more.
And so when was it that he moved the boat out here? You said it was...
He started building it about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And he moved it out here about 15 years ago.
And how was he building this boat? I mean, he was making it out of concrete? Was he a boat builder? What?
He was a boat builder. He had extensive knowledge. He's from Maine.
Okay.
And he was a ship captain. Anyway, he came out here, and the way you build those boats is you make a skeleton out of steel. And this means rebar. And he took that rebar and wove it so that there is a skeleton version of rebar, and then you blow cement. They call it ferro cement.
Mm-hmm.
It's light, and it adheres and covers the steel,
okay.
And you've got yourself a boat eventually, and that was that.
There must have been a lot of wood and stuff inside it as well.
Okay. Keep in mind that there are two holes,
mm-hmm.
and across these two holes, he put logs every... And why? To bind the two holes together,
mm-hmm.
and to make a deck.
Okay.
The deck on top of that, another cement layer on top of that. But yeah, that would burn like a house of fire.
Mm. The stuff inside was just wood, because obviously the cement didn't burn.
No, boat building stuff is, there's a lot of chemicals involved, and I suppose. He also had a full shop back there with tanks full of propane and the like, and those blew off every once in a while. It wasn't safe to go around that. When the fire department got here, they took a couple of looks before they went after it.
Yeah.
And they didn't make any difference at all. They poured water on it for about 5 hours, but as far as I could tell, it burned itself out, and it did, and thankfully it did. If they would have been able to put that fire out, I would speculate that I would have had a lot of dangerous chemical stuff to dispose of. This way, it's burned clean, and now we just have to get it out of there, and I'm going to tell you how to do that next.
I was going to say, what possessed you now to decide you wanted that boat out of there?
I've wanted it out from the day it happened. But first of all, it's quite an engineering feat to take 30 tons of concrete that is encased over, around, and in steel. So it's an engineering problem, and so we finally figured out what we're going to do. I brought a specialist in here who said yes, and so we have a plan, and it's a $17,000 plan. The specialist is Knutson Towing out of Coos Bay. And Brian Knutson came through here at my request, took a look at it, said we can do this. We need to float the boat by pumping it and take it up to Tiernan Landing. And then we're going to tow it up at a high tide. They've got a machine that chews it.
Oh.
It spits out gravel out of the cement or concrete. And the steel will be recycled, of course.
Will you get anything for that, to offset the $17,000 project?
You drove up my driveway, mm-hmm. about a quarter of a mile, and it needs that gravel. So we're going to dump it, right?
Okay.
I get about 6 inches. The steel, well, there's got to be a few hundred dollars worth of steel, that's for sure.
So you pump it full of air.
Yeah, that...
Tell me more about
you
that.
You don't pump it full of air. I mean, pump it full of air. You pump the water out.
I see.
And
okay.
The air displaces the water.
Okay.
And then when there's enough water gone, the boat will come up. Now, you know, I can see you have a skeptical look. I did too. But you know what I did? I bought a $400 pump. I had nothing better to do 2 summers ago. And I had a couple of friends. We put the pump to it, and we floated it.
Oh, so it does work.
And we got scared. What do we do now? We sunk it. I mean, we just let it sink. It's got a small hole in it.
Yeah.
And it's been sitting there. So
it
didn't go anywhere. We know it's going to float. All we need is the money. Next, I'm going to tell you how we're going to get the money.
There we go. Tell me how you're going to get the money.
10 years ago, I wrote a small book, a novel. We sold it, and it went out of print. It's called The Covered Bridge Murders. It's a fun little read. It's all about Lane County. I took the gold country of Cottage Grove, the town of Cottage Grove. There's a very, very famous Lane County resident named Opal Whiteley. She was a poet, a very famous person. This novel is set in the present, but it fades back to 1907 at the time of Opal Whiteley, and I think you'll like it. It also, as the title implies, It has something to do with covered bridges.
Mysteries and covered bridges and home. I don't know how I could not just love something like that.
Yeah, I think I'm proud of it, actually. It's probably the only work I've ever done that I'm quote-unquote proud of. Thank you. What I'm going to do is print 1,000 copies of this book. We will sell them over PayPal. We'll mail them to you. And help me out, guys. This is bigger than me. I need some help.
Rust's book on covered bridges wasn't written out of the blue. Much of the information he used came from the work he'd done as a county commissioner.
What was the most memorable time of your being a commissioner here? Like, what was going on?
I took a look at the covered bridges of Lane County, and I was just back from India. India's full of temples.
Yes,
and
I was
roaming around looking at them and stuff. I get back to Oregon. Oregon, almost no significant architecture.
No.
And then I'm sitting there as commissioner in charge of the biggest collection of covered bridges west of the Mississippi. And we had a road department that was systematically destroying them. They were successful in taking out West Lane's only covered bridge. I fought it. I fought that. Anyway, I divert. That was the Meadows covered bridge. Anyway, I led a campaign along with Commissioner Richard Stack up there in Linn County to look at these covered bridges as not only transportation pieces, but also tourism related architectural features of the landscape. And so we got the state of Oregon to put lottery funds into it. We got a permanent covered bridge restoration, rehabilitation, maintenance plans, and lottery monies. As a result, we've saved 50 covered bridges in the state of Oregon.
That was former County Commissioner Jerry Rust. He's got some work to do to get that cement boat out of the water, and he's hoping the sales from his book and local support will be enough. You're listening to Our Town on Coast Radio.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk recycling with Kelly Bell, and we'll have a conversation with Congressman Peter DeFazio on the August edition of Our Town.